Okay, I'd like to convene the Finance Committee. We have a quorum present. Representative Khan, I think I see you reading something down there. Was that the minutes?
Me?
You want to move the minutes?
Who, me? Yes, I'll move the minutes. Yes, I'll move the minutes.
Representative Khan moves the minutes for May the 10th, 2010. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. The first bill that we'll take up is the Senate File 2629, Representative Swales. One of the reasons I was getting your attention, Representative Khan, was to make some motions here.
I move that the State Government Finance Division report for House File 2755, the first committee engrossment. Then we put it.
The motion is before us to adopt the division report. Any discussion on adopting the division report? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Representative Khan?
No, I guess I move Senate File 2629, the first engrossment be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Okay, that motion is before us. Representative Swales?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. This is a bill that was the result of the legislative agenda for Washington County. I have with me the person who represents the county, John Call, and I will let him explain the bill.
Okay, we need to move the amendment, however. We just moved the bill, and we've got a couple of amendments here. So the first one is, I've got labeled the author's amendment. That's the A2 amendment. Representative Swales, the chair moves the amendment, but could you, it's sections 1 and 3 are effective the day following final enactment is all it is. So
yes,
puts the bill in the order that you'd like. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. The second amendment then is the A1 amendment, and I think Representative Winkler was prepared to make a motion on that amendment. Representative Winkler?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd move the A1 amendment. It is a, it's basically another House file that has already moved through this committee, changing two of the filing fees for the Secretary of State. Appropriated their bill in another committee, and they felt like it would be nice if this original language could be stuck in another non-controversial Secretary of State HAVA type bill. And so I think it's okay with the author, yeah. And hope you can support it.
And did you want to comment or just available for questions?
Mr. Chairman, members, I'll be very brief. This is an outgrowth of the Help America Vote Act of 2002, where the federal government required the states to upgrade voting equipment. As it turns out,
this isn't the amendment. This is a different.
Oh,
amendment.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The amendment.
My error.
Okay.
Seeing you at the table.
All right.
On the Winkler amendment, any discussion on the Winkler amendment? Seeing none. Oh. Representative Biskins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If Representative Winkler would yield to a question.
I will yield.
Thank you. Sorry, I'm in the mode, Mr. Chair. Representative, on page 2, lines 21 and 22, actually 20, 21 and 22, what is the net impact of those changes? I mean, is it $49.85 or how does that cost out?
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins, I think it costs out at probably about nothing, since I don't think they've had one of these filings for about 5 years.
Okay. Mr. Marks.
Mr. Chair, Representative Biskins and members, there was a fiscal note on the bill, and we actually passed out this bill separately. There was a fiscal note on that bill, and it would have been on the two sections that showed a $2,000 revenue loss per year to the general fund. I don't know how much of it was the first section and how much was the second section.
Okay, any further discussion on the Winkler amendment? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, motion carried. Mr. Call, you wanted to comment briefly on the
yes.
Bill now as amended, but the provision that you were interested in, which was the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as I stated, the federal government passed the HAVA Act, which is Help America Vote, in 2002. Ultimately, the state of Minnesota received $39 million in federal funding for assistive voting equipment and for upgrading. It was spent about half and half. In 2009, a law was passed that allows federal money to be allocated to the counties through June 30th, 2012. Specific language allocating the federal money must be passed by the legislature to allow the funds to be granted to counties. A total of $2.5 million of the $39 million is left. Some counties, including Washington, Ramsey, Hennepin, and a number of others, Dakota and Anoka, had purchased their vote counting equipment prior to 2006. And so what this would allow to happen would be the remaining $2.5 million in federal funds of a total of 39 could then be granted to these counties to help them out.
Okay, that's essentially the bill. Any questions then on the bill? Well, seeing none, then Representative Kahn renews her motion that Senate File 2629, the first engrossment as amended, be recommended to pass and re-referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried. We'll now take Senate File 29.
Thank you, members.
37, Representative Liebling. And the Representative Huntley is not here, so the chair moves the Health Care and Human Service Finance Division report for House File 3246. Mm-hmm. Any discussion on the division report? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. The chair moves that Senate File 2937, the second engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Representative Liebling, on the bill.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, members, for hearing this on short notice. This bill is included in the Health and Human Services Omnibus Bill, which, of course, we know is in danger of being vetoed. And this is for a county redesign project that is really had no opposition to speak of. At least it was bipartisanly supported in the Health and Human Services Committee. The counties, it's for the 11 counties in southeast Minnesota that want to do this. It's very much in line with the kinds of reforms that everybody's been talking about this session. This is reform, counties working together to try to deliver chemical dependency services. And it's a good plan. They need this language to go so that they can get contracts in place by July 1st, and I would ask for your support.
Okay, any discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then the chair renews his motion that Senate File 2937, the second engrossment, be recommended to pass and placed in the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you very much, Chair.
We'll now go to the first bill on the agenda, which is by Representative Hansen, 3512. Representative Murphy, would you move the division report? Representative Murphy.
I move the Cultural and Outdoor Resources Finance Division report for House File 3512, Second Committee Engrossment.
Okay, the motion to adopt the division report is before us. Any discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Representative Murphy.
I move House File 3512, the Second Committee Engrossment, be recommended to pass and place on the general register.
Okay, the motion is before us, and I understand now that there is going to be a couple of amendments. What is the order you'd like to take them up? The technical one from the department first? Is that what we're...
Yes, and...
The DE-12, okay, is that...
DE-12, Mr. Chair.
Well, tell us what the DE-12 one is. The chair moves the DE-12 amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, it was DE-7 when it was in my committee. So it's had quite a journey since it left.
Oh, I see what you mean, from 7 to 12, yes.
Yeah, it came into my committee at DE3, left at 7. So it looks like Mr. Hansen, Representative Hansen, has been working very, very hard to get this.
I think he must have been. I heard that there were 3 drafts today. And we're still not done.
Let's go skating.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. This deals with hockey rinks, I guess. Let's go skating and probably talk a little bit about Zambonis. And
actually, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and I appreciate your indulgence, and I think that staff was actually working on a DE13, but we can take care of this in writing.
It's not a lucky number in some circles, so we may want to just
stay on 12. If the Department of Health could come forward, just because I've gone over. And as they're coming forward, I'd like to go over the Amateur Sports Commission, Section 1 on the DE-12. This is as the bill was when it left Representative Murphy's committee, where the Amateur Sports Commission is in her jurisdiction. So we have made no changes to the language that passed out of Representative Murphy's committee. On page 2, you still see the Amateur Sports Commission language, and then at the bottom of page 2, the DE35 or 2.35, we begin on rulemaking. And on line 3.4, on page 3, we would strike the words "and 8 hour." And then strike between three point 3.15 and 3.20.
Could you repeat that so we're sure to get it? You're striking what?
Lines 3.15 to 3.20. And then line 3.25, strike 3, and an insert 1. And with those changes, the health department can confirm that there would be zero fiscal cost to the bill.
Okay, so then this Representative Solberg and I talked with you about just Section 1, so that's a change from the conversation we had, because we knew for sure that was zero cost with Section 1. So I'm going to need to hear from the department that there is no cost, otherwise the bill would have to, I won't say what will have to happen, but if the department could, if you could identify yourself, and we'll need you to be on record that there is no cost, the way amendment is here before we adopt it.
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Linda Brummer from the Minnesota Department of Health. I've worked with Representative Hansen on this, and with these deletions, that I confirm that it's zero cost. We have always assumed that rulemaking was the activity. This is a very minimally funded program in the general fund, and so we had already planned to be doing rulemaking, and so that's the issue was any additional reports had a fiscal cost to it. But now we're back to our assigned rulemaking as we were planning to do. So we're back.
So you're saying the department can absorb that cost?
It's we had always assumed that we would be doing our rulemaking. We had already planned to do rulemaking. So,
okay, Representative Solberg.
Well, Mr. Chair, I'm a little confused. Most of the time, when there's a rulemaking in any department, there's a cost to it. Now, you said you were assuming that you were going to do the rulemaking. Rulemaking for this, has that rulemaking started? Is it ongoing rulemaking? Is it a being paid, how is it being paid for? Because other times, any kind of rulemaking has a cost associated with it. I don't quite understand that it's on, that it's, we were intending to do it, therefore it doesn't do any cost.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we had started the rulemaking last fall, so we were already revising these rules. It was already a cost we were expecting to have for the rulemaking.
So, Mr. Chairman, the authority for you to do rulemaking was found where?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we have rulemaking, I believe, in Statutes 144.
I understand that. So you were doing this rulemaking even though there wasn't an issue with it, or?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, we were doing rulemaking because the rules were very old and needed to be updated.
Okay, I'm just a little bit shocked in that.
Representative Rucavina, Bill?
No, Mr. Chair, my questions don't deal with the Department of Health. I've been around here long enough to know that if the executive branch doesn't oppose something in concept, it's got a zero fiscal note, and if they do, it's got $1 billion on it. So, but my question doesn't have anything to do with health.
Okay, but Representative Rucavina, then your question.
Oh, okay. No, I'm just wondering if I'm reading this right correctly, Representative Hansen, and so is the priority for these grants in the metropolitan area only? That you've got the renovation and in the in subdivision B, which deals with the metropolitan area.
Representative Hansen,
Mr. Chair, and Representative Rucavina, if you look on the Article One, what we've done, there's in the Amateur Sports Commission Mighty Ducks grant language. You have on line 1.12B the metropolitan area, and it lists a number of clauses. And then on the second page, it has on line 2.13, to extent possible, 50% of all grants must be awarded to communities in greater Minnesota. And then that, so you've got both. You've got the priority, you've got the priority up front in terms of what you should be doing, but 50% of the grants must go to greater Minnesota.
And Mr. Chair and Representative, maybe Representative Murphy, because I've lost track, because I used to be on the Minnesota Amateur Sports Commission, which initially got its funding from a tax on the big, you know, suites in that at the Metrodome. And then Representative Kahn, where is she? She found Representative Kahn, if you call it. Phyllis, wake up. Hell. Representative Kahn found unclaimed prize money, and that's how we initially funded the Mighty Ducks for the equal arenas for men and women for ice time. And Representative Kahn never got her due on that because she did find that money, and they told us Arnie Carlson wouldn't sign the bill, but we said he isn't going to pick on women ice skaters, so we did it anyhow, and then he did sign the bill. But now I've lost track. How is the Amateur Sports Commission getting funding now for arena fix-ups and all these priorities and that in here? Is it out of your committee, Representative Murphy?
Yes, it's in the base budget. They have a base budget.
Through?
Mr. Carlson is here.
Mr. Chair, I think
Representative Hansen, maybe can you answer
me? We are here, Representative Rucavina.
Mr. Chair, maybe Representative Hansen can just answer me.
There's been bonding money for the Mighty Ducks grants, but it hasn't been there since 03, I think, 02. So it's been a number of years. So what we're doing here is changing the statute so that if there's bonding money in the future, it would be going to these priorities, because there wasn't any bonding money in this year's bonding bill for Mighty Ducks grants, and there hasn't been since 02.
How does that say, Mr. Chair?
Representative Rucavina.
Representative Kahn, how does that saying go again, if? In Yiddish?
That's important.
Yes. You want the translation?
Representative Solberg.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rukavina and others, I want you to look at 215. It says, to the extent possible. To 213, to the extent possible, 50% of all grants must be awarded to communities in greater Minnesota. But that's current law. We lost that battle a long time ago.
And, Mr. Chair, I'm not addressing any of that current law.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to point it out for clarification purposes.
Any further discussion then on the amendment? And we're clear then that as this amendment goes on, that there is no cost, and that this is the testimony by the department, so that was a crucial part of the ability to move the bill forward and put it on the general order. So any further discussion? Seeing Representative Murphy?
Mr. Chair, just from Representative Hansen, just very quickly then, tell us what the amendment does then.
Mr. Chair and members, and maybe to the bill as it left your committee, Murphy, I have taken out a number of things. The bill has changed dramatically since introduction. The Amateur Sports Commission section was in there from the beginning, and then there were changes to it in your bill. But I have taken out anything relating to requirements for monitoring. I've taken out the bill as it left your committee had licensing and certification. The last fiscal note that was on the bill as left your committee was about $200,000 in FY11. I had some requirements after 2015. So I've had a much more comprehensive bill. I've worked with many of you in the, around this table to work on this bill. I know we're at the end of session, and I'd rather get a little bit of a loaf than lose the whole thing and come back next year and build upon this. So a lot of interest in this. I realize the cost. So I think if we can lay the foundation for future grants, if we can direct rulemaking and then document some of the issues, that gives us some foundation to come back and hopefully a better financial situation next year.
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, is there any children, any child that can be helped by this language?
Representative Hansen.
Mr. Chair and Representative Murphy, I believe that if we provide that change to the statutes, we can provide for renovation of existing rinks when dollars come around. You know, Representative Hausman, if there's going to be a bonding bill at the end of session. I think it also documents that if there is harm, the section that has the reports, we can document this and look at what is going on out there. And then it also provides an updating for the standards on rules, that the rules that Ms. Brummer referenced were finished in 1977. I know that was a long time ago. I'd be wearing the collar outside of my jacket if it was 1977. So, and we've just think of the changes in technology. Let's think about the changes in medical technology and our ability to check things and things that we didn't know back in 1977 that we know now. So I think the rulemaking direction, we can come back. We can document what's happening. We can lay a foundation for helping some of these rinks update their facilities to reduce any risk.
Okay, now we're on the amendment, and I should have mentioned earlier because I guess I'm the one that moved the amendment, but I'm incorporating the suggested oral changes that Representative Hansen recommended, which were, I think, on page 3, that was the striking of lines 315 through 320. And then the following paragraph, again at 321, we strike the B and that becomes A. And then on line 3.25, where you struck three and that became one, and then that wasn't yours, but it would be striking the S, that's year, 1 year. Oh, and then on line 3.4, we struck and 8 hour. Is that just so we're clear then? That was your oral amendment. I'll incorporate those into the amendment. Okay, we have several people that have indicated they have questions, but Representative Murphy, were you?
I'm complete.
You're complete. Okay. Representative Greiling.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I just wanted to thank Representative Hansen. I know he's got a slimmer bill than he had before, but he has been wonderful to work with. I've had issues with the John Rose Oval and the school. The K-12 committee has been interested in the cost to schools, and he has bent over backwards to accommodate everybody and come out with at least something, and I hope we can continue improving the health of children. I know it's a hard fiscal year.
Representative Hansen has always been good to work with. Representative Coles.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hansen, as I understood you explaining your amendment, you said that you took the monitoring out, and I guess I need your, maybe I don't understand the bill well enough, but as I read the requirements with regard to the rulemaking, can you tell me how 3.6 and 3.7 work? To me, it looks as though that's still requiring monitoring. well, can you speak to that first?
Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Coles. On 3.6 and 3.7, now you have, one of the things that's changed since 1977 is a lot of technology, and there are, right now as we speak, there are a lot of pilot efforts going on somewhat as a result of the bill being introduced. There are a number of companies that are working with ice rinks around there, so they're trying to have some standards. The original standard, people go out with a Draeger monitoring tube, a handheld tube on the center ice, and take that, take a reading for carbon monoxide after there's been a resurfacing. But right now, you have technology entering the market. So by having 3.6 and 3.7 and developing how that works and how that can be available so that rinks that are choosing that can be, that there can be some clarity in terms of how that can be received by the health department. With the rulemaking, you can have engagement by those electronic indoor air monitoring manufacturers so they can participate in that, so you have different options besides just the handheld Draeger tubes.
Well, Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because it, I'll leave the $3 billion budget issue alone for now, but I'm going to have to read this again. I'm going to want to talk to you about it because it doesn't make sense to me. It looks to me as though the Department of Health is going to create rules that would allow it to get from any arena at all, anywhere, recorded monitoring data from electronic indoor air monitoring devices. It says must be available to the Department of Health upon request, and so I don't know how that's not requiring monitoring if the department could come in and demand it. So I've got some other questions, but I'll let it go for now, and I'll follow up with you later.
Representative Silbert.
Mr. Chair, would the department come up again, please? Mr. Chair, I'm looking at Section 3, what we removed. We removed the rulemaking for January 1st of 2011. Or the reports, I'm sorry. But we're keeping in the reports by August 1st of 2012 into the next fiscal year. Can you tell me the cost associated with that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I don't know the exact cost of the report that's being deleted, but our discussion was that there is a cost because it would be a report that would be on top of the rulemaking that we are already doing, and so we had no capacity to absorb an additional report. The reason I requested that the three calendar years be changed to one is so that prospectively we can start collecting the information, and so in the next year we will be able to collect the information, so it would be much easier to issue a compliance report. 3 years meant we would have to go back retrospectively and collect the information. The information is only on hard copy. It's not electronic. So that's why it seems like not much of a change, but it makes a big difference.
Mr. Chair, I understand that, but you must have had in the fiscal report the cost of both the rulemaking costs for 2011, or fiscal year 11, and fiscal year 12. I'm asking a very simple question. What is the cost associated with the TAOs and the rulemaking of 12?
Ms. Brenner.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, our estimate is that we will be through with rulemaking by June of 2011.
Maybe I misspoke. I'm not talking about rulemaking. I'm talking about the reports. I may have misspoke. You took out the reports for fiscal year 11, and I understand that's what we're trying to balance. I'm asking what the cost is of the tail.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I don't believe there is a tail because the report has been taken out.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Solberg.
There's a Section 3, only lines 15 through 20 have been taken out. And I know it's been changed to 1 year, and I understand that reduces your cost a great deal. But you still are required, you testified that reports cost money. And now you have a report by August 1st of 2012 is required. All I'm asking, because there's quite a few things that have to be in that report. There's a whole list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm not very good at Roman numerals. 6 things. All I'm asking for is what the cost is.
And, Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I can get that number to you. It's in an older, it's in a previous fiscal note. I don't have it. Well, we had done a fiscal note when it was a 3-year report, and that's why, again, prospectively, I don't anticipate that there are tails because we can prospectively collect the information. So,
Mr. Chair, that's good information. That's what I'm asking for.
Okay.
And if you'd be so kind as to give that to me, get that to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Solberg, I'll get that to you. Sure.
So, Ms. Bolin, Representative Solberg, as we leave this question, I'm not sure what your answer is. Is there a cost for those additional reports or not?
Mr. Chair, I'm saying no, there isn't a cost as long as it's a prospective report where we can start collecting the information so we can just issue it in a year. So there's no background going back into the past data.
Mr. Chair, it'd be kind of nice to have that in a formal note.
Representative Keeson.
No. I'll pass.
Representative Hansen, is there a cost, or maybe Ms. Bolin, to the school districts then with this?
Mr. Chair,
I was informed the other day that there are about like 30 rinks that are owned by school districts across the state.
There's no cost in that.
Mr. Chair, I hesitate to speak for the Department of Education, but in looking at their past fiscal notes, it was for the cost was for the purchase of required equipment, and those requirements have been taken out.
So they wouldn't be then at this point as a result of the amendment. Okay. There was concern that was expressed to me the other day about those 30 rinks, and I don't know if they're old or new or somewhere in between. Representative Hansen.
And we've been, I think those dropped out in an earlier version, and that's what I was working with Representative Greiling on.
Okay. Any further discussion then on the bill? On the amendment. Representative Calls.
And I have, this is the first time I've heard this bill, but Representative Hansen or Representative Greiling, I don't know what those costs were for schools, but I know that the city of Victoria, the city of Waconia, I'm trying to think of any of my other cities, the city of Chaska, all own ice arenas. Are they going to be required to purchase equipment? Are they going to have costs that we've relieved the schools of, but are our local communities going to have new costs as a result of this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, those requirements for having electronic air the original bill had electronic air monitoring devices that were hooked up to ventilation systems. All those requirements are gone. What you're seeing in the DE-12 is stripped down of any of those type of things. And I could show you the original bill and even the bill as it left Representative Murphy's committee and show you those pieces that the cities were reacting to as it moved through the process.
I've asked Mr. Marks to check with the education folks just to make sure that there doesn't remain a cost, because there is a reference there in an earlier fiscal note. At any rate, that's what maybe is confusing the issue a little bit, so we'll check on that. Representative Greiling?
Thank you, Chair. I did check yesterday, and Mr. Crow said there is no cost. He's our K-12 fiscal analyst.
Okay, so that's already been done. Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. With that, the Chair renews his motion that the amendment be adopted, the DE-12. Any further discussion? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. Representative Murphy then renews her motion that House File 3512, the second committee engrossment as amended, be recommended to pass and placed on the general register. Any further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, then all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carried. You know, I'm not sure just the nature of this committee. I'm assuming this is our last meeting, so did want to acknowledge Laurel and Dylan. Our pages, you'll see them on the House floor, but you may or may not see them before this committee, but you know, behind the scenes, this committee generates a whole lot of paperwork, and so not only have they been paging the committee, but they've been up outside my office preparing the files and so on with the committee staff, and have just done a great job. And so,
and Mr. Chair, they are just two of the nicest people you would ever want.
That's true. And Lil reminds me that this was the 55th meeting that they were paging, so it's quite a long list. So thank you very much. And then I also want to acknowledge, in case we don't meet again, of course, the work of House Research and Kathy Novak and Fiscal Analyst Bill Marks and the other staff, but they're the two that are here most days, and then Lil, of course, who does a great job for us, and Joanna, who is the committee administrator, and so I want to publicly thank all of them as well for a great job, and if things go well, we may not be back. For a while yet, anyway. So with that, I hope we can still get a bite to eat.